Blessings and welcome to the path to freedom, this beautiful path where we get to set ourselves free, as the name so beautifully and eloquently articulate. We get to set ourselves free to shine, to soar, to glow, to forever love for greater and grander expressions of who and what we are. We get to set ourselves free to be in ever-expanding love and joy and peace and harmony and wholeness and beauty and abundance and creativity. We get to set ourselves free from the lower vibrations of fear and worry and doubt, a sense of separation, a sense of lack, scarcity, a sense of not being enough, a sense of not having enough. There are so many things that are being tied into this idea of freedom, this way of life, because this is really what it is. It is a way of life that we get to cultivate. So freedom doesn't happen just overnight. We don't just snap our fingers and all of a sudden we're free, but this is inner work that we get to do. It's a process. It's an eternal process. I call it the path to freedom. We can call it the path of awakening. We can call it the path to enlightenment. We can call it the path to sanity. We can call it the path to the spiritual path. There's so many different ways of articulating it, but all of it speaks to that this is a way of life that we get to cultivate moment by moment by moment by moment by moment by moment. Just like when we're learning a new language, it just doesn't happen for most of us, at least. I mean, there are prodigies and there are individuals that have an aptitude for learning different skills and they do it very quickly. But for most of us, when we're learning a new language, it takes time and it takes absolutely repetition. It takes practice, repetition, repetition, practice, repetition. Repetition, practice, over and over and over again. And this is exactly the same. So this was kind of a long introduction to this path to freedom, and it kind of fits into the topic for today. I'm going to say the topic and then I'm going to do what I always do, which is introduce myself and thank you for being here. But the topic for today is the three pillars of freedom. Or I'm sort of on the fence on this one. The three pillars of freedom or the trinity of freedom. I kind of like the word trinity. So who knows where it goes, where I land. But this is the topic for today. So we will explore the three pillars that this freedom rests upon. The three different aspects of walking this path. I mean, there are many aspects and there are many sub-aspects, but they can all be sort of bumped into one of these three pillars. So having said that, my name is Daniel Roquillo, and as always, I'm very grateful and honored that you're choosing to join me, that you're here, that you're tuning in. So thank you so much for being willing to do this work, for being willing to walk this path, for being willing to release, let go of who you used to be, so that who you are becoming may emerge. So it's all good, it's all well. So let's jump into exploring these three pillars. And why do we need to explore these three pillars? Well, the reason is quite simple. As I'm having conversations and as I'm moving through life myself, I mean, life is a composition, if you will, of different aspects. The totality of life. So we have relationships and we have health and we have finances and we have careers and we have self-love and we have our mission and how we're moving through life. We have our creative endeavors. There are different aspects to life, kind of like a jigsaw puzzle, which has all these different pieces, and all the pieces, all the individual pieces make up the full, beautiful image of the jigsaw puzzle. And without one individual piece, the full jigsaw puzzle is not complete, right? So life is made up of different aspects. So what we can do is that we can look at life and sort of gauge, sort of discern where we are in consciousness relative to that aspect of life. And so having an understanding of these three pillars allows us to actively and consciously go to work within that pillar. So because life, a balanced life, is dependent upon these three pillars. If one of them is slacking, or if one of them, if we are not doing the work, if we're lagging behind in doing the work where one pillar is concerned, then that's going to affect the total balance of our lives. So let me name these three pillars. So there's the pillar of trust and surrender. There's the pillar of practicing the presence. And then we have the pillar of learning the art of manifestation. So if we are steeped in practicing the presence, and if we are, and we'll obviously explore these in a little while, but if we're steeped in practicing the presence and trusting and surrendering, but not as steeped in learning about the sacred laws and having visions and intentions for our lives, then our lives will not be as balanced. Then our lives will not flow with ease and grace. Then there will not be, there may be peace in our lives, but we will not have the beautiful life of allowing for ever greater and grander expressions of who and what we are to emerge. Similarly, we can be very, and there are lots of individuals that have absolutely, either consciously or unconsciously, learned to move their lives into vibrational alignment with these sacred laws. They have learned the principles of manifestation, but they have not done, they're not as deep in trusting and surrendering. They have not done the work where practicing the presence is concerned. So they may have allowed for big and mighty manifestations of their lives to demonstrate, but they are not experiencing much peace in life. They're not experiencing much harmony in life. So we need all three pillars to live a balanced life, to live a life of freedom. We need to have all these three pillars somewhat balanced, right? So what we'll do is that we will briefly explore each of these three pillars and what they pertain, what they include. And please be aware that these are not, I mean, as I'm naming them and as we are exploring these, it may seem as though they are separate, as though they are linear, but they are not. They are very, very intimately connected. They are very, what's the name? Dynamic in the sense that you cannot have, as we just talked about, really, actually, we cannot have big manifestations happening with ease and grace unless we're doing the work where trust and surrendering is concerned. We cannot live a peaceful life unless we are doing the work where trust and surrendering is concerned and practicing the presence is concerned. So they all work together in that sense. So we need to deliberately, actively, consciously go to work where each of these pillars are concerned, so that we continuously go ever deeper and wider and higher into trusting and surrendering, into practicing the presence, into learning to master the art of manifestation. If we leave one behind, we're going to be left behind. Something is going to be left behind where peace is concerned, where joy is concerned, where harmony is concerned, where health is concerned, where flow is concerned. So in this now moment, before we move into the exploration of these, into the deeper exploration of these, let's have a moment of reclaiming our minds. Let's have a moment of practicing the presence as we take a couple of deep and conscious breaths, breathing in and releasing. And breathing in. And breathing out. So this was a taste of practicing the presence. So let's begin there. Practicing the presence, this is where we reclaim our sanity. This is where we reclaim our minds. This is where we cultivate a way of life where we are increasingly and ever expandingly grounded, centered, and anchored in the nowness of this moment. So practicing the presence is us cultivating a life where we come back to the nowness of this moment on a regular basis, not letting the mind just roam free, not letting the mind just run off like an untrained, unleashed dog, but actually training the mind to heal, training the mind to follow suit, so that we become the masters of our mind, so that we take back our minds, because the mind left to itself, it'll take off in whichever direction is suggested to it. It sees something on the news, or we see something on the news, or we hear something on the radio, or we read something on social media, and immediately the mind, or not the mind necessarily, but the ego, which absolutely thrives in time, past, present, future. So the ego conjures the mind into, tricks the mind, lures the mind into either past regurgitating, complaining over something that has been, something that didn't was, or whatever the case may be. It jumps into some future moment, projecting fears and worries and doubts, worst case scenarios, doom and gloom onto that moment. Or it moves into the present moment, being very concerned about what others are thinking about us, what is happening right now, all of it infused with judgments, opinions, points of views, small and limited perspectives, perceptions, thoughts as to what should and should not be, labels, name calling. So we need to train the mind to heal. As the beautiful statement goes, the mind as a master is a very dangerous master. The mind as a servant, that's not the original word, but I would call it servant, is a very beautiful ally, or an ally. It's a very beautiful and powerful ally, but it needs to be trained to heal. It needs to be trained. We need to train our attention muscles, our presence muscles, so that they are strong enough that we, like the trees that are so rooted in the ground, which allows them to remain standing even in the midst of turbulence, even in the midst of hard weather. We need to train our presence muscles so that we remain anchored, centered, and grounded in the nowness of this moment, even when there's turbulence around us, even when there's turbulence within us. We need to train our attention muscle to more be turned toward what it is that we wish to experience than what we don't wish to experience. And in this, and I was just in meditation before beginning to record this, and that meditation sort of threw me off, because what came into my mind was, well, we have these three pillars, but then we have like forgiveness, and then we have self-love, cultivating a deep and profound sense of self-love. Where does that fit in? Does this mean that there are more than three pillars? And obviously, as we're living and moving in a field of infinite possibilities, where there are no finite boundaries anywhere, except for those that we impose upon ourselves, this that I'm naming these three pillars, it's a linguistic convenience. I'm making it easy for myself. The purpose of this is to make it comprehensible. And so I was a bit frustrated with spirit for tossing me into a space of confusion. And then I realized that, well, for the sake of conveniency, cultivating a sense of self-love, which absolutely includes forgiveness, it can be tied into practicing the presence. Because forgiveness, which is all about releasing and letting go of judgments, it actually is practicing the presence and cultivating a deep and profound sense of self-love, which means that we're releasing and letting go of the stories, the beliefs that we have been taught, or that we're telling ourselves about our self-worth, about who we are and what we are and what we're worthy of and all these kind of things. That too belongs to practicing the presence, taking our minds back, learning to turn our attention toward that which actually serves us, that which actually empowers us. So we have practicing the presence as one of the pillars. And these are, as I said, these are not linear. So these are in no particular order, but they are like a tripod or a trinity that is intimately connected. And then we have the pillar of trusting and surrendering. Another name for that may be on the verge of evolving or emerging, as I also caught in the meditation. that there may be another name that more articulatory describe what this means. But for now, let's call it trusting and surrendering. And this is where we learn and go deep into cultivating a conscious connection with the divine, with life, with the one and only mind, the one and only presence. We can call it God, we can call it the universe, we can call it life, we can call it the benevolent loving presence or spirit or whatever we want to call it. But this is where we trust, where we come to trust that this loving presence is all there is. So we come to trust the allness of it. We come to trust that it is benevolent, that it is always good, that it is always for itself, regardless of what surface appearances look like, regardless of our perceptions or our judgments about whatever is going on. And this is where we learn to trust that it is always expressing itself perfectly. Thus, wherever we are in any given moment, whatever is happening in any given moment is just perfect. Perfect preparation is always happening, perfect unfolding is always happening, and it is for us to surrender to that, allowing that which is happening to happen, just like all nature is in such a deep state of surrendering, having no resistance, having no judgments, having no opinions, having no objections about what is happening. So the seed planted in the ground, it is in a continuous state of surrendering to its next iteration. It doesn't say, no, I want it to happen this way, or it needs to happen that way, or it needs to happen at that particular time. Now is not that. It's always in state of yes, just flowing with whatever is going on, just flowing with the demonstration. So this is where we get to do deep work in releasing our micromanagement, in releasing our sense of needing to be in control to make things happen. This is where, in conjunction with practicing the presence, this is where we get to do the work around releasing our fears and worries and doubts and all of those small and limited thought patterns and stories and beliefs that we perhaps are buying into or attaching ourselves or identifying with. And then we have the pillar of mastering the art of manifestation, which is where we learn that there is no predetermined destiny in our lives, where we learn that we absolutely have infinite power over our own lives, that we, being made in the image and likeness of spirit, of this, the one mind, that we have faculties that allow us to allow for beautiful manifestations. This is where we learn the principles of manifestation. We learn the principles of these sacred laws so that we begin to move into alignment with them so that they, and this too is linguistic convenience, but so that they begin to work in our favor, on our behalf. They are always working, these principles, they're always working, but if we are not moving in alignment with them, it may seem as though life is against us. It may seem as though we need to effort. It may seem as though we need to struggle to make things happen, to move forward. And so we learn to catch big and mighty visions, intentions, dreams for our lives, and we learn to begin to move in the direction of these dreams more and more and more with ease and grace, more and more and more allowing for the manifestation of these intentions and dreams and visions to come into our experience. Not reaching out into the world to try to grab something, to get something, but more and more and more allowing that which already is within us to emerge from within, to come forth from within. So these are the three pillars of freedom. The trinity of freedom, the tripod of freedom. And we're all wise to look at our lives to sort of gate, oh, before we go there, let's have a moment of practicing the presence, of coming back to the nowness of this moment, of conscious breathing. So breathing in. And releasing. Taking another deep breath in. And breathing out. So having an understanding of these three pillars, it allows us to look at our lives, to witness and observe our lives, and relative to these, become aware of where we perhaps need to do some work right now. Are we allowing for big manifestations to happen in our lives? Is there a beautiful flow to our lives, but we are filled with fear and worry and doubt? Then that may mean that we need to do some work where the pillars of trusting and surrendering and where the pillar of practicing the presence are concerned. Are we steeped in trust? Are we having a deep sense of peace in our lives, but we're not really moving forward in life? We're not in the space of expansion. We're not in the space of progression. Then perhaps we need to turn our attention toward not practicing the presence, toward the art of manifestation, toward the principles of manifestation, so that we may allow for a beautiful momentum of our lives to get going, where we continuously allow for greater and grander expressions of who and what we are, where we allow for the inherent creativity to be set free. Are we perhaps experiencing anxiety, a lot of fear and worry and doubt, the sense of not being enough, the sense of lack and scarcity? Are we being tossed into emotional reactions? Something happens outside of us and immediately we just pull into a turbulent emotion. And we have no clear bearing in our lives, where our emotional life is concerned, where our mental life is concerned. There's no stability, there's no balance. But we find ourselves on an emotional roller coaster. Something good happens, oh, we're feeling so good. Something bad happens, oh, we're feeling so bad. Then perhaps practicing the presence is where we need to turn our attention. So this is the invitation for us to, relative to these three pillars, to have a moment of exploring our lives, witnessing our lives, observing our lives, to become aware of and ask ourselves, or ask that still small voice, where is it that I need to do work now? Or a beautiful question that absolutely serves and supports this invitation for us to become mindful of where we need to turn our attention is just that. What is mine to do in this now moment? In this now moment, right now, what is mine to do? Where do I need to turn my attention? For me to move deeper into freedom, for me to allow for a beautiful life to emerge, for me to be a conscious, active participant in my own life, in the unfolding of my own life. What is mine to do? So that we, and then obviously, as whenever we're asking the still small voice, whenever we're asking for guidance, this is not for us to intellectually come up with the answer, but this is for us to become still and catch the answer. That still small voice, it is all of intuition. We can call it intuition. We can call it the voice of God. We can call it the voice of our future self. But it is always speaking to us in a language and in a way that we can understand. But we need to be still enough. We need to become silent enough. We need to make ourselves open and available to catch it in whichever ways it speaks to us. So these are this is the invitation, and these are the questions for us to become aware of where we need to turn our attention. And this is not a commercial, obviously, but this is about, if you find that you perhaps need to turn your attention toward practicing the presence, then I have a beautiful audio course called just that, Practicing the Presence. If you feel that you need to learn to master the art of manifestation, then I have a beautiful, actually a couple of beautiful courses, How to Master the Art of Manifestation and How to Master the Art of Manifestation 2.0. If you feel that you want to go deeper into trusting and surrendering, I would invite you into How to Master the Art of Manifestation 2.0, because one of the sections in that course is a very deep dive into trusting and surrendering. And obviously there are other means of going deeper into any of these three pillars, so I'm not gonna trick you. But if you feel inspired, compelled, you're more than welcome to join me on any of these adventures in any of these courses. Thank you so much for tuning in, for participating. Until we meet again, I, as always, bless our days, and I bless our ways in the full knowing, and I invite you to say this out loud with me, in the full knowing that all is well, that something wonderful is always happening, that everything is working for our highest good, and the perfect preparation and unfolding is always happening. With much love, many blessings. Namaste.